It's a cold winter day, and a seasoned fisherman decides to go do a little ice fishing. He walks out onto the frozen lake, he cuts a hole in the ice, he drops in his fishing line, and he waits patiently for his bite. He's there almost an hour without even a nibble when suddenly a young boy walks out onto the ice, he cuts a hole in the ice not too far from him. The young boy drops in his fishing line into the water, and in less than a minute, he hooks a large fish. The fisherman can't believe his eyes, but he chalked it up to just plain luck. But shortly thereafter, this young boy pulls in another large fish, and then another, and another. And this young boy just kept catching fish after fish after fish. And so finally, the fisherman's like, I can't take this any longer. I've been here for an hour. So he walks over to the boy and he says, son, I've been here for an hour without even a nibble. And you've been here a few minutes, and here you've already caught a half a dozen fish. How in the world are you doing it? The boy looks at him and says, Ruraffa reaper rorms rorm. The guy looks at him confused. He said, what? What did you say? So the boy again responded, Ruraffa reaper rorms rorm. Look, said the fisherman, I can't understand your word you're saying. You need to speak English. So the boy spits the bait into his hand and says, you have to keep the worms warm. Hey, that's for all you fishermen out there. If you're having trouble catching fish on the ice, that's what you need to do, right? Free advice from the pastor this morning. You get the best advice from me, I tell you. Okay, we're in a series that we're calling Diary of a Dreamer, based on the life of a man named Joseph from the Old Testament. So if you have your Bible or Bible app, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1. It's also going to be up on the screens if you'd prefer to follow along there. Before we read this, though, I want to give you just a quick recap of to where we are in the story to catch you up to speed, just in case you haven't been here for all of it. So the story's about a young man named Joseph, and when Joseph is 17 years old, he's given a dream by God in relation to his destiny, relating to his calling, based on this is what he has been created for. I believe that every one of us in this room, we have been created by God for something special. When God created you, he had a plan in place when he created you. There is a dream, so to speak, that he has for your life. You are not a mistake. I don't care about what other people have said about you. You are not a mistake. God does not make mistakes. We talked about how to discover the dream in a couple weeks ago in part one of this series. And once we discover the dream, God begins to then work on our character, because the character is the foundation that will actually sustain the dream. And if the character, if the foundation is weak, it will not be able to sustain the weight of our dream. The weight of our dream will actually crush us if our character is weak, and then your dream is actually going to become a burden rather than a blessing. Read the stories of celebrities that rose to fame too quickly. They were thrust into the spotlight before their character could sustain the weight of that. And that's why you've seen many of them turned to substance abuse and get in trouble with the law and go through several divorces. They lose their families. And I could list a dozen of them right now, and you probably could too. But Joseph, this young man, he has 11 brothers, and we're told that he is the favorite of his father. Because of that, he and his brothers don't have a very good relationship. When he's given the dream by God, out of pride and arrogance, he tells his brothers this dream, which in turn enrages them, and now they want to kill him. So they throw him into a pit, which we talked about last week. But then they decide, rather than kill him, they're going to sell him to some Ishmaelite traders that were traveling by. So now he's sold as a slave. He's given a dream by God. Understand this. The next thing you know, he's thrown into a pit, and then he's sold as a slave. You might say his dream is not going as planned. This is where we're at in the story. So let's pick up the story in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1. When Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So the Lord was with Joseph, and so he succeeded in everything he did, as he served, pay attention to that word, as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From the day Joseph was put into the charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except for what kind of food to eat. I'm calling this message this morning, Dear Diary, I Am Willing. Father, for the next few moments, I ask that you would give me the mind of Christ. I ask that you would anoint this message, God. For Lord, if you don't anoint these words, this message will fall flat. But God, if you anoint these words, they have the power to change lives. And God, that is my prayer this morning. God, I need your anointing, and that's why I pray for it every time. God, if you don't anoint this, Lord, God, I need your anointing. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, right after Joseph's delivered from the pit, he faces another character-building moment. He's sold as a slave, taken to Egypt, and then sold as a slave again to Potiphar, who is the captain of the guard for Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the king of Egypt. So he is sold to a high-ranking official in Egypt. Now, clearly, he's at a place in life he doesn't want to be in. Him serving as a slave was not a part of this dream that God had given him. The dream was, my brothers and family is going to be bowing down to me. How is this working? As a matter of fact, him serving as a slave is completely opposite of the dream God had given him. Because as a slave, all of his rights had been stripped away. Now, I want you to notice something about Joseph. He could have bickered. He could have complained. He could have resisted the authority that was over him. He could have said, this isn't fair. He could have said, I deserve better than this. And all of those statements would have been true. But we don't see him do any of those things. Instead, we read that he serves this man. And he serves him faithfully. Now, how is he able to do that? Think about it. There is no hope of promotion. There are no benefits to this position. There is no income. It would be easy for him to become bitter at his situation, at the situation he's in. But rather than resisting, rather than pouting about his circumstance and complaining to others about it, he simply serves this man. He serves. How's he able to do that? He's able to do that because of his character. His character is actually strong in this area. We've already talked about Joseph being arrogant and prideful, but God used the pit to break that. Now he's faced with the challenge of being at a place in life where life doesn't seem fair. Let me ask, are you at a place in life right now where life doesn't seem fair? You feel like people keep kicking you when you're down. Have you ever said that? I just feel like people keep kicking me when I'm down. You just can't seem to catch a break. If so, it could very well be that God is trying to reveal something to you about your character. Remember the question from last week? We don't ask who, when we're talking about the pit, we don't ask who put me in the pit. We ask, why am I in the pit? It's the same thing here. We don't ask why, or we ask, why do I keep hitting this wall? What am I doing that I keep coming up against the same roadblock? Don't blame it on anyone else, but look internally. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody can keep you from accomplishing God's will for your life. Nobody. I don't care what they do to you. I don't care how bad your childhood was or how badly people have treated you. We use these things as an excuse to keep us stuck. I could use my childhood as an excuse. Nobody, this is what I've learned, nobody can keep you from accomplishing God's dream for your life except you. You'll see how true this is in the life of Joseph. The only person that can keep you from accomplishing God's will for your life is you. So you always have to look inward. Anytime you're hitting a wall, anytime you're struggling, you have to look inward. Okay, with that being said, look at what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22. He says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence from the Lord. Now watch this, verse 23. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture right here. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. It says whatever you do, not just some things that you do, whatever you do. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Now, I want you to take this scripture that we just read, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for man, since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. Take that scripture and apply that scripture to your current job, whatever you're doing right now, whatever it is. Maybe you work in a factory. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom or dad. Maybe you own a business. Maybe you're retired and you just volunteer at different places. Whatever your situation might be, apply the scripture. Let's just make this very practical for just a moment. If you are employed at a company, do you serve your company faithfully? I don't care how bad the environment is. I'm not asking how bad it is. I'm asking, do you serve your company faithfully? Are you honest with them? Do you call in sick because you don't feel like going in? I remember just recently, Jace, my son, I'm going to brag on my son a little bit today. It's good, Jace. I'm not throwing you under the bus today, okay? But he was scheduled to work. I think it was a holiday or holiday-ish. I think it was on Black Friday, actually. And they call him in the morning. He's scheduled to work that night, and they end up calling him early in the morning. They say, hey, can you come in early this morning? So basically, we need you to work all day. You'll take a couple hour break in the afternoon, and then you'll come back in for your evening shift. And the reason they needed him in the morning was because four employees called in sick. And I've been doing this long enough to tell you I know exactly what happened. You see, all the employees that day, they were told, you can't take the day off because we're going to be busy, we're going to be swamped, so we're not allowing any vacation today. And those employees didn't want to be there, so they called in sick. And I'm telling you, if I knew nothing else about them, that alone speaks to me about their character. So Jace gets up, he goes in to cover it, and he does so with a great attitude, and we're going to be talking about that here in a moment. He works all day. He's only 16, and he's already in management there. They gave him keys to the store. He's 16 years old, and he's in management. Man, I'm just bragging on him. I could brag on all my kids. I'm so proud of all of them. But you see, what does Paul say? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for man, for you know you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. If you're a stay-at-home mom or dad, are you faithful with the needs of your children? Are you faithful to correct and discipline them when they need to be corrected, or you just let them do whatever they want as you stare at your telephone screen all day? If you volunteer, are you faithful to volunteer? Can the place you volunteer for count on you to be there when you say you're going to be there? Regardless of what you do, give it your all. Do you give it your all when no one's looking? You see, it's easy to give our all when we're being watched, but do you give your all when no one's watching? How you answer that question will reveal a lot about your character. Because what we do when no one's watching, I hate to say it, but that's who we really are. That's the true us. We can fake it when people are watching, but when we're alone, that's our true character. But this is what I want you to understand. Here's the truth. There is always somebody watching. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. I'll prove it. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. And this is why in everything we do, it should be done with the mindset that I'm working for. This changes everything. I'm telling you, this mindset shift right here that I'm teaching you today, this changed everything for me. should be done with the mindset that I'm working for God, I'm not working for man. Because if your character, listen to me, cannot handle being faithful with a little bit, if you cannot handle being faithful with small things, the Word of God tells us that you're not going to be able to be trusted with more. God's not going to give you more if you can't be faithful with where you're planted, with the little you have. Jesus himself says this. Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, this is what Jesus said. If you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. It's a test. Being faithful with a little is a test. But if you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. How you handle the little things speaks volumes about your character. And God is not going to give you more until you get this right. And listen, I'm not talking about just being faithful for a couple of days. Sometimes this process takes years. And we don't like to hear that because we live in a microwave society. We want it now. I want to be faithful for 2 days and just have God bless me. Personally, I've been in ministry now more than 25 years. Man, that just tells me I'm getting old. 25 years. Almost 20 years of that. I think it was 18 years, 19 years. I served the vision of another man. I faithfully served another person for about 19 years before God finally gave me my own dream. That's a long wait, but you know, there was things I had to learn, I had to relearn, and I had to learn again to prepare me for where I am today. Again, God will not give you more until you get this right. Because if you move too fast, it's because he loves you, that's why. If you move too fast and your character's not ready for what's next, the weight of the next assignment will crush you and your dream will actually become a burden. We've talked about that. Let me give you an example. Perfect example. Do some research on people that win the lottery. The problem with the lottery is if somebody wins that amount of money and they can't control or manage a small amount of money, instead of the blessing they thought that extra money would be, it actually hurts them. Some people say, Ben, if I just had $100,000, all my problems would go away. And if you can't control $1,000, $100,000 is going to hurt you. And we don't like to understand this, but it's true, because if you can't be faithful with the little, God, you can't be faithful with more. But see, their character is not strong enough to carry that extra responsibility and weight, because having that much money, there's a big responsibility that comes with that. So what you'll do is you'll read stories of drug addictions, gambling addictions, wasteful spending, and over time they're broke and they're worse off than they were before. Example. Take, for instance, a lady by the name of Evelyn Adams. You may not remember her. This was back in the 80s, but she was made famous in the 1980s for not winning the lottery once, but she won it twice. She won $5.4 million, which back in the 80s had, what, $700 billion now? I don't know. But she ends up losing it all. And this is what a newspaper wrote about her in a recent article. This is what they wrote. They said, by 2012, Adams had spent all of her winnings, having lost her money to gambling and a string of unsuccessful business deals. Now, this is what she said. These are her words. Winning the lottery isn't always what it's cracked up to be, Evelyn said, now reported to be living in a trailer. She said, I won the American dream, but I lost it too. It was a hard fall. It's called rock bottom. Now watch. She said, I wish I had the chance to do it all over again. I'd be much smarter about it now. What she's saying, let me translate what she's saying. She's simply saying this: my character at that time could not sustain that kind of a blessing. So the blessing actually became a curse to her. And she's worse off now than she was before. That's why these character building moments in our life that God puts us through are so important. It's not fun walking through the fire, but God is preparing you for your destiny. And until you can learn to be faithful with a little, until you can learn to be faithful with where you are currently planted, you won't be able to move on. And I hate to say it, some people never do. They grumble. They complain, they steal and lie to their employer, and God sees it all. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere. And he says, my child, I want to give you more, but I can't until you just become faithful with where I've planted you. I'm telling you, this is a roadblock that will keep you from your destiny. If your dream is to own a business someday, but you have difficulty being faithful as an employee of someone else's business, you're going to struggle getting your business off the ground because you're not going to have the favor of God. Think about this. What if you owned a company and your employees act like you currently do? Your employees treat you like you currently treat your employer. Would you fire them? That's a humbling question. Now, you might say, you don't understand, Pastor, the work environment I'm in is absolutely horrible. And that might be true, but unless you're a slave, I guarantee it's not as bad as Joseph. His situation's about as bad as it gets. Just compare your situation to his. One of the reasons I love to hire from within is because I've learned that your best volunteers will always make your best staff members. If they're a horrible volunteer, I've learned this and I've been taught this. If they're a horrible volunteer, if they're never showing up, if they're constantly making excuses for not serving, if they're difficult to work with and causing drama and problems, a staff position won't, I don't care how talented they are. I've passed on some very talented people because their character was not where it needed to be. Giving them a staff position isn't magically going to change the formula and make them a better person. No, I've just inherited a headache to deal with now. You see, Joseph was faithful with where he was planted. Was it ideal? No, it was not ideal. Was it the position he wanted? No, but he was a good steward with what God had put in front of him. And because his character was strong in this area, because he had the right attitude. Look at what happened, verse 2 again. The Lord was with Joseph. He succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this, realized the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. Joseph was a man that understood what Paul writes in Colossians. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for man. This is the secret to building this part of our character. I guarantee you, I've memorized this scripture, and I quote it a lot. This mindset will help shift you to becoming faithful with the small things. And when you're faithful with the small things, God is enabled to trust you with more. Joseph had the right attitude towards his position, even though his position was a slave. Listen to me. He didn't allow the injustice of his situation to prevent him from serving his master faithfully. He didn't use that as an excuse. He could have. He could have been shouting injustice from the rooftops. He could have been screaming at how he's not being treated fairly, and he would have been right 100%. But instead, he takes the high road, and because of this, God elevates him. Potiphar made Joseph the overseer of his house, which is a pretty high honor to bestow upon a slave. Listen, God is watching to see whether you can be trusted with little things before he gives you the great things that he has in store for you. What am I going to do with the job he's given me now? How am I going to treat the boss he's given me now? And I'm talking when nobody's looking. Am I going to be faithful with another person's resources, even if that person's an unbeliever? Because sometimes we think that, well, they're an unbeliever. They don't deserve to be treated well. Whatever your job may be, you must understand that you don't only work for your employer. You also work for God. And because you work for God, listen, your employer might not ever reward you. But God is faithful to reward you. God will promote you in His time, and He will put His blessing on all that you do because His promises are yes and amen. Joseph was faithful with another man's resources. He was faithful to do the right thing, even when it seemed like there was no reward for doing so. And because of that, God was with Joseph. He prospered Joseph. He prospered the work of his hands. What if that was you? Let me ask, would you be okay with that? Would you be okay with the fact that whatever you touched, God would prosper? Would you be okay if your marriage prospered? Would you be okay if your children prospered? What about your job, your health, your relationships? Of course you would be okay with that. We all want that. Well, the question is, are you being faithful with where you're planted? Maybe, just maybe, God has placed you in a tough environment on purpose because there's things you need to learn there that are vital for you reaching your destiny. Let's look at some more examples of people that had the favor of God on them like Joseph did. Because you better believe this anointing, this favor that I'm talking about today is available to you. God doesn't pick and choose and show favorites. It's available to you. 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 3. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the ways of his father David before him. He did not consult the Baals, but he sought, now verse 4, but sought the God of his father and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel. So the Lord established the kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat so that he had great wealth and honor. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, notice his heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah. We read that God was with this man named Jehoshaphat. Why? Because he walked in God's commandments. He walked in God's ways. We're also told that Jehoshaphat followed the example of his father David. David also had the favor of God on his life. Here's what we read about him in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 12. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Interesting. Therefore, Saul removed him from his presence and made him captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. He was afraid of David. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. The Lord was with David. But we read that he had departed from Saul. Even Saul was aware of this. Was it because God's playing favorites? No. It clearly states the Lord was with David because David behaved wisely in all his ways. That's verse 14. In other words, David was obedient to God, and because David was obedient to God, the Lord was with him. Now, why did God depart from Saul? Because Saul had the favor of God on him and he lost it. If you read 1 Samuel chapter 15, you'll see that God had spoken to Saul. He'd given him specific instructions on something. Saul refused to do what God said to do, and then he tried to justify his disobedience rather than repent. So the presence of the Lord departs from him. Now watch, this confirms. This is phenomenal. This confirms what we read in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. If you get nothing else, I want you to listen very closely to what I'm about to say. Isaiah 1, 19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. We see that God says here that if we want to eat the good of the land, in other words, if we want to prosper, if we want the blessing of God on our life, we must be willing and obedient. But he also says that if we're not willing and obedient, but we continue to refuse and rebel, which is what Saul did, we will not prosper, but in fact be devoured. Pay close attention to those two words, willing and obedient. It doesn't just say obedient, does it? We like to say that, man, if I'm just obedient to God, some of us have been obedient to God, but we've done it with a bad attitude. God says if we want to prosper, we're not just obedient, but we're also willing. You see, obedience deals with our outward action. Willing deals with our attitude. Clearly, our attitudes are just as important to God as our actions, and we can hide our attitudes from other people fairly easy, but we can't hide it from God. He wants us not only to obey him, but he wants us to do it with a willing heart. This is why we read that God loves a cheerful giver. Because if you give cheerfully to his work, your attitude is right. Your heart is right. If you serve cheerfully, your heart is right. Your attitude is right. I've had people show up to serve in various positions in the past. Not here, of course, other churches I've been in. This is a perfect church. Just want. But anyway, I'll go up to them and say, "Hey, man, how you doing?" And they'll just mope around. They'll say, "Well, I'm here. Just want to get this over with. Had a rough day." And I want to say, "Man, just go home. We don't need that attitude around here. That attitude isn't pleasing to God." I'm going to tell you, we all have rough days. What if I showed up and acted like that on a Sunday morning? I just got up here moped and I just complained about everything. You guys would be forming a posse to get me out of here. Nobody would want to be around me, and that's just the truth. You don't think I have bad days? You don't think I come in here on some Sunday mornings and I feel like I'm just hanging on by a small thread? You won't know it, though. Because whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for man. I am in charge of my attitude. And God says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Not just obedient. Not just obedient. I remember my kids were little. Some of you will be able to bear witness to this. But I remember they would make a mess with their toys. Sometimes I just wanted to throw all them dumb things right in the trash, just start all over. But they would make a mess, and when they're making a mess, they're smiling, they're giggling, they're having a good old time dumping the thing out on the floor and just putting the Legos all over. Boy, they're having a good time. They're on cloud nine. But as soon as we tell them to clean up, the neighbors probably, I'm surprised we didn't get social services called on us because the neighbors probably thought we were beating our kids because they would holler. And they would scream, and they would whine, and they would cry as they picked up their toys. You see, they were obedient to what we asked, but were they willing? And that's the difference. Their heart's not in it. God wants your heart. When we are willing and obedient to God, it is proof He has our heart. And I know some people that are not seeing the dream that God has for their life fulfilled because they're struggling, they're stuck right here, and they do things, and they serve, and they're obedient. But as soon as they're by themselves, they grumble, and they complain. They're not willing. There's always going to be things, no matter where you are, guys. I'm telling you what. Case in point. Not this Saturday, but last Saturday, I came in. My wife was on a trip to Iowa to see her mom, and so I came in on Saturday to do the final cleaning, and I go into one of the bathrooms, and there is feces all over the toilet and all over the floor, smeared on the floor. Now, at that moment, it's fun to get up here and preach. Boy, I like this. I don't like that, but I have a choice at that point. I can grumble, and I can complain. I can say, I can't believe someone would do this, and I don't always get this right. Or I can put on the gloves or the rag and I can just start cleaning and say, thank you, God, that I still have the strength to get down here and do this. Thank you, God, that I'm able to do this. Thank you, God, that I'm able to serve you. You see the difference? Willing and obedient. Many of us have the obedient part down, but we don't have the willing part down. The willing part will keep the roadblock in place from you reaching your destiny. Dave, if you could go ahead and come on back up at this time. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9 says, I'll close with this. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself, this is why, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. You know what that is? That's favor. You see, God had Joseph's heart. Joseph served faithfully right where he was planted. And he didn't just serve faithfully, but he did it with a good attitude. He was willing and obedient. You're going to look at the glass as half full, or are you going to look at it as half empty? I want to challenge you this morning just to be faithful with where you're planted. If your situation isn't ideal, be faithful. Remember, I'm going to do this as I'm working for the Lord. Not for man. Man may never reward me. I'm okay with that because I'm not doing it for him. I'm doing it for him. Do whatever you're doing is unto the Lord. Be willing and obedient. And the next thing you know, God's going to look down on you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few. And now I'm going to make you ruler over more. The same blessing, the same anointing, the same favor that was on Joseph is available to you and I. The secret key that unlocks this door is obedience with a good attitude. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? This is the secret to being faithful where you're planted. This is the secret to being faithful with the small things. And once God sees that, he knows he can trust you with more. Your character will be strong enough to handle the bigger blessing. I'm going to have you bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, this is a challenging word, I know, Father, for many of us. But God, I just pray that as we leave this place today, we'll remember the words of the apostle that says, whatever we do, work at it with all our heart, as working for the Lord and not for man. We will remember the scripture that says, if we are willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. And tomorrow when we walk into our place of employment or whatever that might be, or volunteer position, or God, that we would remember this. And we understand, God, that you're always there. You're always watching. And God, if I'm just faithful and I do it with a good attitude, you've promised, God, you've promised our reward would come from you. So God, we just want to thank you today. Thank you for your word that challenges us, that makes us better. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. And I want you to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed.